Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Awesome. We're going to go to the Word of God because our value is that God's Word is our foundation. If we're going to say that, we should probably start with the Word and preach with the Word, from the Word. Who thinks that's a good idea? So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the parable of the wise builder. Verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the storms rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man, everyone say foolish man, who built his house on sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. We're also going to read from John chapter 8, verse 31. Verse 31 says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Father, we thank you for the next few moments. We commit it to you, God. We are gathered, as we've heard already, to encounter you, to hear from you, to be transformed by you. Father, I pray that you would do what you need to do in each of our hearts. Do what you need to do in our minds. Bring our minds into alignment with your word, we ask. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. I love when I get the opportunity to talk to people about Jesus, to talk more specifically to unchurched people about Jesus, people that don't necessarily have a faith, didn't necessarily grow up in church, because I'm fascinated to hear what these people think about Jesus. So if I'm at a wedding or at a party or wherever, I love an opportunity to engage in a conversation around the identity of Jesus. And what I've found over many years as I've had these conversations is that there's many people that exist in our culture who aren't necessarily people of faith that are fans of Jesus. Like they're a fan of Jesus. They'll say things like, yeah, Jesus was a great moral teacher. I love his teaching. They'll say things like, Jesus stood for justice and peace, and it was all about love and loving your neighbor. And I love the fact that Jesus stood up for the marginalized. He stood against the corrupt political leadership of the day. Like, I'm a fan of Jesus. But the thing that I've also seen over the years is there's a very big difference between being a fan of Jesus and a devoted follower of Jesus. You see, in Jesus's day, he had multitudes of fans. I mean, you open the Gospels and everywhere Jesus went, he would attract a crowd. People were fascinated by his miracles, by his teaching. They were fascinated by who Jesus was. People flocked to him. But how many people know Jesus, while on earth, didn't have a whole lot of devoted followers? There was many people who would consider themselves fans of Jesus, but not many who were willing to pick up their cross and to follow Jesus when the rubber hit the road, when things got challenging. And I love here in our text in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus is gathered with a whole bunch of Jewish leaders who apparently have believed in Jesus. And Jesus says to them, hear these words, Jesus says, if you are truly my disciples, you will hold to my teachings. Now, it's really important we hear this because this is where the rubber hits the road. The question, the thing that divides a follower from a fan is how we respond to the Word of God, is how we respond to Jesus' words. Are we just hearers of the Word, or are we going to allow His words to penetrate our hearts, and are we going to put His words into practice? You see, fans claim to like His teaching, but true followers live His teaching. They don't just like his teaching. And Jesus is saying, it's not enough to just tip your hat to me. It's not enough to just give me lip service, but we are to create space in our lives, to create space in our hearts and our worlds where we allow the Word of God to penetrate us and change us and shape the way that we live and walk on planet Earth. You see, the interesting thing is, today more than ever, churches and Christians are embracing an expression of faith that I would call pick and choose Christianity. Where we go, we open the Word of God and we go, wow, I love that verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's like every one of our favorite scriptures. All these positive things, and we're like, I love that verse. I'm choosing that one. I'm going to memorize that one. I'm going to build my life on that one. But then other times we get to other parts of Scripture and we go, hey, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure if I agree with it. I'm not sure if it lines up with the way I see the world. I'm not sure if that's kind of convenient for the lifestyle I want to live. But we need to come to a place where it's, hey, the Word of God is either God-breathed, God-inspired, or it's not. We haven't been called to pick and choose, because who knows? We are not the final authority on what is true and right. We should probably leave that space and domain to the Creator of the universe. But there is so many Christians and churches who, in theological terms, you would say have engaged or embraced a liberal form of Christianity or interpretation of Scripture. But God has called us to stand firm and to embrace all of His Word and all of His counsel. You see, some people would say, and I love, just side note, I love the fact that we are a part of a church that has a kingdom culture series, and our second value we preach on is God's Word is our foundation. You see, our vision, our mission, our values, our preaching here at Pneuma comes from the Word of God, is informed by the Word of God, and that is incredibly important. But when it comes to the Word of God, some people just feel like, hey, the Word of God is outdated, it's restrictive, it's restraining, it's like wearing a tight jacket. And you know, people will say, if you really want to live a life of freedom, a life of fullness, a life where you just, you know, have a great time, then what you need to do is you need to follow your feelings. Then you need to embrace exactly what you want to do. And there's this whole, we live in a culture that is pluralistic, relativistic, where we kind of decide what is true and what is right. We define our own truth. But what the Word of God says, that it is Jesus that offers freedom, and it is the words of Jesus and His Word that help us to live in that freedom. He says, you'll hear the Word, you'll know the Word, and it will set you free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, yes, God's Word has boundaries. God's Word absolutely has boundaries. God's Word has restrictions. But those boundaries are there to protect us, not to withhold from us. They are there to set us up for a win. Tim Keller says it with so much insight. True freedom is not the absence of restrictions. That's impossible. It's finding the right ones. You see, in God's kingdom, when we embrace God, the restrictions or the boundaries He gives us are there to help us to enjoy all that He has for us, are there to help us, to prevent us from living a life of enslavement to sin. Because we've got two options. We embrace His freedom, or we embrace a life of enslavement to sin. God is protecting us through His Word. And I remember in my teenage years, I think I would have been about 14 or 15. And up until that point in my teenage years, I would say that I was absolutely a fan of Jesus. I wasn't a devoted follower, but I was a fan. I went to church occasionally. I liked some of the things Jesus would say, but I wouldn't say I'd fully surrendered. And I think my youth pastor at the time noticed this. It was pretty obvious the way I talked, the way I acted. He was like, this kid's never read the Bible. So he gave me a Bible, a youth Bible that was accessible and easy to read. And as soon as I started getting serious about reading the Bible, all of a sudden my mindset, my worldview, my heart, everything began to change. And all of a sudden I transitioned from being a fan of Jesus who liked Jesus to being someone who wanted to devote my whole life and surrender my whole life to Him. You see, we're talking about living out the words of Jesus, living out the Word. But if we don't first get the Word in us, how can we live it out? What you get in you is what comes out of you. And I've seen this all throughout my life. I remember when I was a young kid, I would have been from about 8 to 12, when I would go to sleep at night, I was that kid that was petrified. I didn't want it to be dark. I was afraid that something would happen. I'd always have these thoughts that were scary and worst case scenario. And I would often wake up and, you know, I was that kid. It was hilarious. I didn't want to go all the way into my parents' room because that would be considered like I was a scaredy cat. So what I would do is I'd pick up my mattress and kind of move it halfway through the house so I'd be a little bit closer to my parents' room. Some of you are like, poor Luke, I know. But the thing that happened was Mum was a woman of faith, so she said, no, we're not going to let this thing get on top of you. You're not going to live all your days in fear. So she printed off all these verses that spoke about the fact that we don't need to fear, that we don't need to fear the terror of night, that we can have peace in God. We are safe. He is a refuge. He is our strength. All those things. And she put them on my wall next to my bed. And every night I would read those verses. I would get the Word of God in me. And over time, what started to come out of me wasn't fear, but was peace. Wasn't anxiety about something happening, but it was trust in the character and the goodness of God. You see, what we get in us is what comes out of us. It's the thing that will begin to come through us. And Jesus begins the parable of the wise builder by saying, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, the fascinating thing about this parable isn't just what Jesus said, but it's when he said it. Because if you look at this, this is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' longest recorded sermon. It takes up 3 whole chapters in the Bible. Jesus was talking for a long time. The listeners would have been tired. But what happens is Jesus gets to the end of the Sermon on the Mount and he gets to his conclusion. And pretty much what he says here is he says, everything I've just said, everything I've just taught over 3 chapters of the Bible about marriage, about life, about finance, about forgiving your neighbor, all these things mean nothing if you don't go and apply them to your life. If you don't go and live out my words. See, everything I taught means nothing if you don't embrace them in your life and live them out. James says it like this, don't just hear the word, but do the word. James 1:25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, hear this, they will be blessed in what they do. You see, hear me, blessing doesn't just come from hearing the word of God, but blessing comes from obeying the word of God. Blessing over our lives comes from living it out. And sometimes we can be in a place where we're like, what is going on? Like, where is God? Why isn't he blessing what I'm doing? Why aren't I seeing more fruitfulness in my life? Why aren't I seeing more fruitfulness in my business? What is going on? And I think sometimes the gentle voice of the Holy Spirit would whisper, yeah, is that area of your life in alignment with my word? Are you living out the truth, the principles, the wisdom of the Word of God when it comes to your relationship, your business, whatever it is? Because it is the Word of God applied that leads to fruitfulness and blessing. Who knows that the demons heard Jesus talk? The Pharisees, the religious leaders, they heard the words from Jesus, but they didn't take root in their heart. The words never changed the way that they understood God. They never lived out the teaching of Jesus. And in no way am I saying it's our obedience or living out the words that bring us into right standing with God. That's what Jesus has done. The finished work of Jesus is what makes us right with God. His kindness leads us to repentance. But what I'm talking about is once we receive that grace, we respond by saying, I want to live out the truth of God's word. What I love about this parable is I believe that there's not a single person on planet Earth that cannot relate to this parable. You've got two builders, the wise builder, the foolish builder. Every single person on planet Earth, whether they live in a palace or in a village, rich or poor, regardless of nationality, background, any of that, every single person on planet Earth is building a life. You know, you might say, yeah, but I didn't know I was building a life. That person didn't know. Every single one of us is either intentionally building a life or unintentionally building a life. All of us are building something. Some of us may be building with more wisdom, but every single one of us are building our lives upon something. And the question we need to ask is, do I resemble more so the wise builder or the foolish builder? What am I building on? Am I building on my success? Am I building on my achievements? Am I building on the success of my children? Am I building on my reputation and my social standing with people? Or am I building on the rock of Jesus and his word? And to be honest, when I open the word of God, I often find myself asking the question, okay, the way that I think about life, the way that I see life, my worldview, my belief system, all these things, are they more so informed by the culture around me or are they informed by God's truth? Because let's be real this morning, all of us, we live in this culture. We go to work, we go to school, we mingle with people, we go down the road to the shops. We're constantly living in this culture. We're in the world, but not of the world. So who knows that at times the lines can get blurred. It's like, okay, what is the world's way of thinking and what's God's way of thinking? We can find ourselves where we're kind of embracing a bit of both and we're kind of content just mixing them together, saying, hey, I'm not outright rebelling, so a bit of this, bit of that, that'll work out. But this parable is telling us there's two options. You either build upon Jesus and his truth, or we build upon the truth that our culture would want us to embrace. That's what he's asking. And the really important thing is when it comes to God's word as our foundation, let's not just read the word, but let's allow his word to read us. Allow his word to read our lives. Allow his word to point things out in us that we need to invite the Holy Spirit to transform, invite the Holy Spirit to change in our lives. In the Palestinian desert, building on the sand like the foolish man did was the easy option. I mean, you're in a desert, so there's plenty of sand, right? It's kind of straightforward. The sand is right there in the desert, so you can kind of just get to work, start building on the sand. But if you are the man or the woman who wants to build on the rock in the Palestinian desert, what you've got to do is you've got to penetrate below the sand. You've got to dig until you get to a place where you find the bedrock. It might be 3 meters, 4 meters. You've got to go down, put in the work to find the rock. Or the other option, scholars would say, was if you wanted to build upon the rock, you would go up to the mountains and you would chip away at that rock. You would chip away and you would be wanting to create a surface that was conducive for building. You see, building on the sand was the easy option, but building on the rock was the challenging option at this time. And why do I say all of this? The reason I say all of this is because going along with our culture, blending into the culture around us is the easy option. But choosing to build our life on God's word and choosing not what is easy but what is right, that's the challenging option. But that is the option that God has called us to. See, building our lives the way the culture does, it's straightforward. But here's the thing, God has called us not just to live for convenience, but to live from conviction. There's a huge difference between what is convenient and what is a conviction that we carry. You see, convenience would say, hey, just raise your children the same way everyone else raises their children. Just let your kids do what every other parent lets them do. You don't need boundaries. I mean, that's hard work as a parent enforcing these boundaries. But God's word would say, no, create an environment where your children can thrive, where they can learn who God is and embrace him and embrace all that he has for them. Convenience would say, hey, when it comes to business and finance, just take the shortcuts, do what everyone else does. You know, it takes time and effort to do things the right way and above board. But conviction would say, no, I'm called to live with integrity. I'm called to be honest, knowing that God will reward my honesty. See, convenience in our culture would say, when it comes to dating relationships, just do it the way everyone else does it. I mean, everyone else lives together before they get married. Everyone else is sexually intimate before they get married. Just go along with our culture. It is the easy option. You love this person. But conviction that comes from God's word would say, if you do it God's way, it will pay off in the long run. If you do it God's way, He will bless what you are building. You see, in the short term, is this okay? I know this is challenging, but we need to talk about this. In the short term, it may be harder. It may not be convenient, but living from conviction will always pay off. Doing what is right over what is easy will always pay off in the long run. And I've had so many friends that have walked away from God, completely abandoned their faith because they chose their lifestyle over living according to the Word of God. And I just wish that I could, and I have told some of them that please choose what God has, because ultimately what you are looking for, fulfillment, satisfaction, true life, is only found through taking the narrow road that leads to life. Many will enter the wide gate and take the narrow path that leads to destruction, but few will enter the narrow gate, the small path that leads to life. But that is what God has called us to. Many years ago, before I got married, I make it sound like I've been married for 40 years. A few years ago, before I got married, I had the opportunity to purchase a little unit investment property in Whoop Whoop, way out. I won't tell you the name of the suburb. You might be offended because I'm putting it down. But yeah, look, it's a bit of a rough place, but it's where God led me. Anyway, my uncle, I should have said a family member, going to get him in trouble. A family member is a developer, and I purchased this unit through him. When I purchased it, it was about 3/4 of the way complete, being built. And one day my uncle called me up. There I go again. I was going to say family member, but I said uncle. My uncle called me up and he said, Luke, I'm going to save you a bit of money. I'm like, okay, I'm keen on saving money. I'd be stupid not to want to save money. And he said, look, you've purchased this unit just recently and it's almost finished, but what we're going to do is, on the legal documents, we're going to backdate your purchase, and we're going to say that you purchased this just after it had started being built. So what's going to happen is, rather than having to pay stamp duty on the land and the build, you'll only have to pay stamp duty on the land pretty much. He's like, I can't remember the figures, but I'm going to save you potentially, full stamp duty would be about 15k, but you'll only have to pay 5 on the land. And I was like, all right, this is a dilemma, because I want to save money. And he was kind of like, Luke, like, it's all good. Everyone does this. It's not like you're going to get in trouble or there's anything wrong with this. Like, everyone does it. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, but if we're backdating my purchase of this property 9 months or whatever, that means I'm flat out lying about when I purchased this place. But who knows, we've all got a flesh. Do you have a flesh? Just me. My flesh was like, Luke, think about this. You're a young guy. You're not married. You're trying to make some invest and, you know, be wise about all that stuff. Save yourself some money. Everyone does it. Everyone does it. You heard that. I mean, you know of a Christian that did it just a few months ago. I knew of someone who did it a few months ago with the exact same person. So I'm going, yeah, this is fine. But then a still small voice rose up in my spirit and said, Luke, you're not called to be everybody. You're not called to live like everybody else. You're not called to live like the culture around you, but you're called to live your life with integrity. You're called to take your cues, not from culture, but your cues from my word and from truth. And a little bit of compromise leads to a lot of compromise. Let's do the right thing now. And I called my uncle back and I said, hey, about the backdating thing, I don't want to backdate. Like, let's just put the date down that I actually purchased the house. And he was like, Luke, are you serious? Like, he was like, I've never had anyone like say this, not want to. It's fine, Luke. What are you doing? He was singing, this guy's crazy. And my flesh was like, Luke, you are crazy. But here's the thing I've learned. I believe with all of my heart, everything in me, that if we honor God and do what is right in the moment, He will bless what we put our hands to. And I believe that God has blessed me in many ways and given me further opportunity in this space because I did the right thing all those years ago when I had no idea. You see, just as there is consequences for disobedience, I believe with all of my heart, there is great blessing God wants to pour out on obedience. When we choose the right thing, when we choose to obey His word, God's saying, let me pour out my blessing on you. Let me open the floodgates of heaven on you. And please hear me this morning. I am not a Christian or a pastor that gets it right all the time. None of us are. None of us live a perfect life according to the law or the word of God. And if we did, we wouldn't need Jesus. So I'm not up here telling you to live this morally elite life and you'll get it right all the time. But all I'm saying is when we do fall short, let's come back to the word of God. When we're making decisions about our life and our children and our direction, let's take our cues from His word and not the culture around us. Let's embrace a life where we build on the rock. Solomon says it like this, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's body. How do you find true life? Where do we find what the human heart longs for? We find it through valuing His word, through embracing it, through allowing His word to lead us to fullness of life. That's where we find it. And the wise man built his house upon the rock. And when the winds rose, when the rains came, that house stood firm. But the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when the rains came, when the winds blew, his house came crashing down. I don't know about you, but there's not many things I can guarantee you in life, but one thing I can guarantee you is that there will be storms that come in your life. If you live on this fallen earth long enough, you will encounter things that are challenging. You will encounter storms. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that person when I see the storm coming, I'm going, okay, oh no, I'm not prepared for the storm. I need to go and fix the foundations of the house. I need to fix the roof. Rain's going to come in. This thing's going to blow over unless I reinforce the house because I haven't prepared in advance. But I want to be that person that says, hey, I'm preparing my heart every day through reading His word and applying it for the storms that will surely come. So that when the storms do come, guess what? I'm not blown over. My faith isn't completely destroyed, but I can stand firm and say, this hurts right now. This is painful. Life isn't always easy. We're not talking about a perfect life, but I can stand here and say God is faithful and I'll choose to keep following Him even though this storm has hit me for six, even though this is a really challenging season of my life. Why? Because I established the right foundations before the storm came into my life. I was proactive rather than reactive. That's what it means to be serious about making God's word our foundation. And just recently, I was out for dinner, 3 weeks ago or so, with Pastor Danny Guglielmucci. He preached at City Campus, Numa City, a few weeks ago. Many of you would be familiar with him, and we're out for dinner, and the other pastors were there, and we were like kind of just firing questions at him. I felt sorry for him. He couldn't even eat because we were just firing questions one after another. But he's got so much wisdom and experience to pass on. And as I was listening to him talk and hearing about everything he's been through in life, I was like, wow, this guy's been through a lot. I mean, those who are familiar with him, he went through the whole thing, all the challenges around what happened with his son, Michael. Just a few years ago, his other son, Chris, died tragically from a lightning bolt, hit him when he was at a youth camp, leading a youth camp. So much has happened in his life just the last few years. He's been battling cancer and health challenges, and being in ministry for so long, he's been through so many relational and leadership challenges. And I'm just hearing this man talk about everything he's been through. And as I was listening, there was one question that just kept coming to mind. So when I got my opportunity, when Don stopped talking, because Don can talk, don't put this on the podcast. No, he's my man. I love Don. I said, Pastor Danny, you've been through so much in your life. There's so many storms that have come your way. How is it that you've kept such a soft heart towards God and a soft heart towards people? Because if you meet this guy, he's got a huge heart for people. He loves God. You only need to be around him for a few moments. He oozes it. And without even hesitating, he responded. He said, Luke, every morning I wake up, I open the Word of God. But I don't just read the Word of God, but I feast on the Word of God. I study the Word of God. I inhale the Word of God. And the reason I do that is because I want the Word of God to be in me, because when the Word of God is in you, what comes out of you is the Word of God. And he was saying, how can I choose not to forgive someone if everything I'm getting in me, if what I'm getting off the out of the Word of God is about forgiveness? How can I choose to be angry at God for years when the word that I'm feasting on, I'm eating each day, is telling me that God is good and he is faithful and he works all things for good according to those who love him or are called according to his purpose? What he's saying is what we put in us is what will come out of us. And it's, in many ways, it's so simple, but it is so true that what we feed our mind with, what we feed on throughout our day, is the exact same thing that will come out of us. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Everything that we say comes from our hearts. It's about what is in us. And the thing about storms, as the worship team joins me, is I don't know about you, but I'm not that person that's like, I really want storms to come into my life. Like, I'm just really looking for a hard season where I have to persevere, and I love trials and I love things not going to plan. I'm not that person. If you're that person, you're more spiritual than me. Props to you. That is amazing. But I like life to go, you know, to be straightforward and go to plan. It's just the way I am. But here's the thing about storms. Storms aren't always a bad thing, but sometimes storms can be a godsend. Sometimes God allows storms to come into our lives to reveal what foundation we are building on. Because what happened with the foolish man? He was building on the sand, so when the storm came, his house fell over. And in this same way, God will send a storm or allow a storm, because as a storm comes and the house falls over, all of a sudden we realize, hang on, I'm not building my life on God's word. I've been building it on my achievements. I've been building it on my success. I've been building it on all these other things. I've been finding my identity, my significance, my sense of self-worth. I've been finding those things in other places. The opinions of man, my bank account, whether I'm ticking goals, my intellectual capacity, how I look. The storms that come into our lives reveal what we are truly building our lives upon. So next time a storm comes, let's take the time to go, hey, I'm going to allow this storm to reveal to me where I'm really at. What am I building on? Am I building on the rock, or am I building on sand in my life? What's fascinating about this parable is the conclusion of this parable. This is the verse that concludes the whole Sermon on the Mount. Three chapters, probably 20 sermons in one. A whole bunch of teaching from Jesus. This is the final verse, verse 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Why was Jesus different to all the other teachers? What stood out? Where did he get this authority? His authority came from the fact that he wasn't just a good rabbi or a good teacher. But Jesus was God himself. Jesus was God in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus had come to earth to reveal that he is the way, the truth, and the light. He says, I am the light. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the beginning and the end. I am the resurrection. I am everything you need is found in me. And what I'm saying this morning is, I promise you, that there is no other foundation you can build your life on that can carry the weight of your life. If you build your life on something else, eventually that foundation will begin to crack. Eventually it will begin to give way. There is no other foundation that can withhold the weight of your life other than Jesus himself and his word. How do we stormproof our lives? Does anyone want to stormproof their life? I'm not saying life will be easy and there won't be challenges, but the only way to stormproof our life is to build our lives upon the rock of Jesus, to find our identity, our significance, our worth, all of it in Jesus. If we shop around and try and find these things in other places, we'll be left disappointed, disheartened, disillusioned. Let's build our life upon the rock. Let's bring our lives into alignment with his word. Let's not try and bring the word into alignment with our lives and pick and choose and say, yeah, I'll do this, but not that. But let's embrace his word. If you are truly my disciple, you will embrace my teachings. You will live out my teachings. Don't just hear the word, but do the word.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.